This is 2 years of 25 years of Vampire the Masquerade, a retrospective. A retrospective.
What?
This is the Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number...
I think it's 77, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's 76 or 77. Episode number 76, and for this episode, we will be jumping off of 25 years of Vampire the Masquerade, a retrospective by Utility Muffin Labs. It is a podcast about 25 years of Vampire the Masquerade books. They go through and...
They review every single book.
They are starting at the beginning, and some of them are like two or three books in one podcast,
yeah.
But for the most part, it's a book, a podcast. And they give you the feel of the book and you know, anecdotes of their playing days.
Right.
Without spoiling the book or making it where you don't need to buy it if you're going to use it.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I have played Vampire the Masquerade since second edition. Probably 93, 94 was my first taste of it. And then... my second game of it was 95, my first gaming session, I was blood hunted, and it left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
I've never played Chicago since, because I was a brand new neonate Malkavian, and apparently, you know, just fucking kill him.
Yeah.
You know, because he... He has regression, and he fucking played out his character.
Yeah.
And nobody decided to fucking wrangle in the Malkavian.
It's, I didn't play. I played a little bit in college, but I haven't played that much Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
It, this podcast is not, for one, I think it's funny that we're being meta. Like, we're a podcast about a podcast today. But, these books are not light reading. Like,
oh, no.
These are very long, very detailed.
Yes, yes.
Like, I always kind of thought to myself that Vampire was written by, like, the OCD gamer. Like, it's everything is so minutely detailed. Yeah, yeah. There is a rule for everything, and
it's not as bad as, say, a GURPS, or it's not super crunchy.
Right,
it's semi-crunchy.
Right.
That's the gaming term. It was the first major push into story-based gaming.
Right, right.
Versus...
That actually makes the books a lot easier to read because there is a little more flow to mm-hmm. how they're written. And you can just sit there and kind of read them for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and of course a lot of it depends on who's running your game. If you
yeah,
have a very
yeah.
by-the-book guy who wants to look up everything, this game can really bog down.
Yes, yes.
Or you can play the way we play, which is a little more loose, you know.
Yeah, and the combat system has improved over time.
Yeah.
But the combat really... You know, you're going in story-based mode and story, and then boom, you hit combat, and it's a fucking wall.
Yeah.
And you're there for six hours rolling dice to get through, you know, 20 minutes of real life, you know.
Yeah, if you've ever walked through downtown Charleston with, like, 20 10-sided die in your pocket, it's not that comfortable.
Which is why for the Mind's Eye Theater, the live-action adaptation of it, they went... Super simple.
Yeah.
They went, instead of rolling dice, you play rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
And there's overbids that can negate all of that. But yes, you play rock, paper, scissors, which is supposed to keep the game moving. However, I had the experience of having a game come to a screeching halt in the desert of California because... This guy that I was I was doing an NPC, and this guy was challenging him, and we threw the same fucking thing, rock, paper, scissors, 53 straight times.
I'd like to know the math on that.
After about 20, we turned around, so we were back to back. So you know, if one of us was getting a tell, we negated that, yeah, and we went on for 33 more times.
And you didn't play the lottery that day.
No.
Oh, that's terrible.
We were playing Vampire. Why would we go play the lottery?
Because the statistics, that's why.
Yes. The statistical probability is awful, but apparently we have the same algorithm going in our head.
Yeah. You're actually long-lost brothers, separated at birth.
We're actually accidentally the same entity in the Matrix.
Yeah. That's it.
They copied the program instead of
just tweaking it. Just a little copy paste. Edit appearance. Yeah, we're good to go.
Apparently, I was a simple copy paste job. Yeah.
You're generic default 5.
tweak the randomizer. Oh crap! We forgot to tweak the randomizer on one of these. Fuck it. Put it out anyway. Yeah. What's the chance he's gonna run into another one?
Exactly. That's it. Yeah. Totally it. The combat was really the worst part about it. I mean, and I came from a D&D background where combat is
everything.
It's not everything, but it's... It's simple, and it's to the point, and it's a little more strategy than story.
But at the same time, you know, you go into a D&D game, the D&D game can be entirely combat. And
right.
A lot of times is.
Yeah.
Where you go in and you do 4 hours of combat, and that's your session.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this is a little better than that.
Yeah.
But D&D, you know, D&D, you have the miniatures, and it's really a strategy game.
Right.
At its core. You know, the newer editions have added the role play, the story elements into it, but second edition is really designed to be a dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hex map, and you go in and you figure out your distances and what you can do, and it's based on the combat with the other.
It's a combat game with storytelling peripherals.
Right.
Whereas this is a storytelling game
with, oh fuck, we're in combat now.
Yeah.
But
I mean, in combat, it's funny because in some games, at least one that I played, combat was completely optional. Like, there were 3 or 4 people that didn't do combat at all.
They just kind of sat there and watched.
Well, no, they achieved things through different means. They played the story a lot more than they played,
Well, and Vampire is cast as a game of personal horror. But there's the huge political machinations in the background.
Right.
It's designed for you to come in as a newbie and just be manipulated by the system and not have much control, and that's the personal horror. But of course, people decided, okay, I want to play some of the people in the background.
Right.
So they eventually came out with the systems for how to advance your characters to start off at the higher levels. And so, like, by the time it became a friggin' live action thing, it was just these huge conglomerations of political machinations and just people fucking over everybody.
Yeah, which is what drew me to the game. That's what I like.
Because you're a poli-sci major.
Yeah, I'm a politics guy.
So that's... Where do we want to pivot to?
Well, I mean, it's fine because it's something we were talking about before we started. It's a very... If you listen to this podcast, I personally listen to podcasts to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. My wife and I are sort of on different sleep schedules. She's up way before me, so I like having something on in the background that I can just kind of, you know, drown out some of the white noise as she gets ready and...
Yes.
You know, whatever. It's the weirdest podcast to fall asleep to. Because it's all kind of spoken in sort of, you know... Not really hushed tones, but very soothing kind of, you know.
Oh, so you find Nate and Bob soothing?
Well, not soothing, but
you find that pleasure,
there's not a lot of
their dulcet tones pleasurable to your ears.
There's not a lot of dynamism to their voice, you know. So I don't know. I was getting some really weird dreams though.
Uh huh.
Fantasizing about Nate and Bob.
Nate and Bob. Nate and Bob.
But no, it, but yeah, but it was, yeah, it's fun, and it really, I would like to sort of, I think it'd be interesting to try to play again as an older person now, because I was such a neophyte.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming into just, you know, role-playing games, period.
Well, you know, I know I'm in a werewolf game in June, and I've invited you in, so, yes. You know, that's
we'll try.
An adjacent itch.
I've had a lot of stuff going on, and I'll talk to you once we're done about that. But yes. Other than job stuff.
Yes, yes.
But no, it, so yeah,
chaos,
it
would be, and disorder.
But it would be fun to go back as an older, kind of more experienced role player to kind of, you know, sink my teeth into something different. Because it's the other reason why I wanted to get back into playing D&D, because it's so different now.
Yeah,
You know, I can see, you can see a lot more angles into how to play things than when you're 19 years old, it's 20 like, years old, just messing around.
With D&D, I kind of wonder if they did a new Coke thing. You know, when they came out with fourth edition, they took it so far to the video game angle.
Right.
Where they really tried to make it basically a tabletop form of a video game.
Yeah.
And now they've pulled it back.
Yeah.
And they've kept some of those aspects, but people don't notice that because they've shifted back.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we're going from regular Coke to new Coke. And then here's Coke Classic, which is totally the same thing you had before. We swear.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If they had just gone to Coke Classic, we probably would have rejected that because it was the transition of sugar to corn syrup.
Right.
The first taste of it is going to be harsh and awful.
Yeah.
And then you season it in, and then they give you, oh, this is what you were drinking before.
Yeah.
And
until you've had Mexican Coke.
Until you've had Mexican Coke.
Which is a game changer.
And then you go, holy fuck, they mind warped all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know. And I wonder how calculated that was by Coke.
Oh, it was 100% calculated.
If they 100% knew
because
that they were going
new
to
Coke,
go.
New Coke was corn syrup, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
that was the plan, to shift over to corn syrup.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wonder if before new Coke came out, if they already had the compromise in play, if they went this far,
I think
so they
may have
pull
had
it back.
That could be a strategy. I think they may have had Coke Classic as a contingency.
Okay.
You know, we're going to push this out. If it succeeds, great. Right. If it doesn't, we'll pivot.
We'll go with this Coke Classic thing that Hector over in fucking HR seems to like.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2 cents more per that to produce than the new Coke we're trying to push.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't really want to go with that, but we will if we have to.
Yeah, we can make billions with this. It's not quite the billions we can make with new Coke, but I guess we'll do it.
I guess we'll do it if we have to.
Yeah, if we have to. I forget, like, I haven't been to the Coca-Cola Museum in a long time. Can you still get new Coke at the Coke Museum?
I don't think they had that.
Oh.
Yeah, I went down there. It's been 5-6 years ago at this point.
See, it's been like 10 or 12 for me. I went to like the mini one that they had in Vegas.
Okay.
Which was fun, but it wasn't quite the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not all of the flavors from around the world and stuff.
Right, like when you go get straight up diabetes, because yeah, I'm like, I want to try everything.
Everything!
You know? Yeah, I want to drink all the Cokes.
Yeah, yeah, at this point I couldn't even, you know, smell that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's die. True.
I gained 20 pounds. Where did it come from? Oh, smell the Coke Museum.
Well, I've moved away from the corn syrup based drinks, and so now it tastes awful to me if I try to go back to it. So yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, I can't say the last time I had like a diesel soda. Like, I'm drinking a soda now, but it's because I had a headache and I needed to take an ibuprofen. And it was either that or gin was in my fridge, so I decided to have Coke.
But it's Coke Zero, so it's not...
No, it's Coke Zero Sugar.
Sugar, yes, yes.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
It's
sorry.
It's the new Coke to Coke Zero's Coke Classic.
It's the Coke Classic to Coke Zero's new Coke.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, why does Coke Zero need to exist? They still have Diet Coke, which is zero calorie.
But Diet Coke tastes like booty. That's the problem.
Once you get used to it, doesn't, though.
Yeah, but once you get used to it, booty doesn't taste like booty. So, I mean...
Well, yeah, it does.
You can get but numb to anything. But you enjoy it. Yeah. You can just get numb to whatever. But from coming in cold, you know...
If it's associated with good sensations, you tend to, you learn to like the flavor.
I guess. I guess.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's what these kids are saying these days.
Yeah.
But
I thought they were saying, stop killing us. We want gun control.
Oh, what do you kids know? Nobody's shooting up Congress, so they don't care.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they've obviously kept that at bay by allowing all of the congressmen to carry weapons.
Yeah, I mean, if guns make people safer, Congress should be the most well-armed, you know, every member should be carrying an assault rifle. Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
That sarcasm's over.
Yes. So 25 years of Vampire the Masquerade, a retrospective, is done by Utility Muffin Labs. Apparently, they have an issue with naming their things after bread, just as we do.
Yeah.
We're kindred spirits. Kindred spirits. Yeah. But I guess it came out of their Nerdwords podcast, which now they... Usually, it's a more of a shooting the shit add-on to the end of the Vampire the Masquerade thing. But in the last month or so, it's been something completely different. But it seems to have started off as basically them getting together and shooting the shit. Kind of like what we do.
Right.
Without the direct focus on a piece of media that we have to keep us cohesive and moving forward.
Right. Well, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's not like we just use whatever media we pick as a conversation starter.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I need to...
But at least we have a conversation starter.
That's true.
Yeah.
And while you're talking, I need to figure out what the next conversation starter is.
But we still have 10 more minutes of talking to do.
Yeah, I know, but you need to do that. Why?
Fuck you! Yeah, so, comestible muffin-based provisions and such.
Combustible muffin provisions?
Yeah, it's
sounds like a string cheese.
Album. It sounds like it's gonna. Yeah, it comestible. I'm not sure what comestible.
I don't think that means anything.
I may be mishearing it, but I know it's not combustible. I don't know. So I'm not sure exactly. It's like muffins for the masses or something. It's a statement.
It's a statement.
It is a statement.
Combustible muffins
is a statement. Boom.
Yeah.
No, utility muffins. They're not tasty. They're just there. It's like the muffins you get at work.
Oh,
That are just kind of there on the side. If you do a work thing at a hotel and there's the muffin array on the side with the shitty coffee. This is the utility muffins. That is their take on Utility Muffin Labs. Apparently, is where these muffins are made.
I see. Ah, okay. So it's the generic factory that makes the generic muffins.
Yes. Yes.
And not even the good blueberry ones. Like
No.
The banana nut that are left
just
over.
Straight bran.
Yeah. Just the bran.
The bran muffins.
Okay.
You know, lightly sweetened.
But ever so lightly.
Because
utility muffins is not a big... There's not a lot of...
Well, we don't want any excitement breaking out in this meeting.
Right.
Because, you know, we need the masses to be controllable. So we can't pack it full of sugar. But at the same time, we need their blood sugar to stay up.
So they don't
sleep.
So
that they don't... Well, and so they don't get hangry in the middle of the fucking, you know...
I could see that.
Talk. You know, where the CEO is talking to them.
So you need utility muffins.
Yes. And I need someone to participate in the conversation so I don't have to just keep going down this awful, awful rabbit hole.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out what we're doing next, okay? Leave me alone. Before you maybe just pick something crazy. But no, it's...
But role-playing games, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. I feel like it's a lot like my, like, I always have a time to money equation. Like, you'll have a time in your life where you have all the free time in the world, but no money to do anything. And then by the time you have the money to do everything, you won't have the time to spend it.
Well, my big...
Like, that's how I feel about role-playing games.
my big role-playing experience was in the barracks at... at MOS school.
Ideal, yeah.
And basically, there was a common room at the end of every freaking hall.
Right.
And we would block off a common room for our group, and there was like 20 of us. And we would pack into this common room, and we would start on Friday night, and there was a fucking a roach truck that would come around and bring food. And we'd just go down and get Jolt and food and run back up.
And, yes.
And we would start playing on Friday night. The last person to fall asleep was the gear guard and had to and was stuck there to protect everything until the rest of us woke up and came back.
That's so mean.
Yeah, how much did we really care about ourselves if we were leaving a guy asleep to keep an eye on it?
That's true.
So we'd basically take over the common area there for Friday night to Sunday night, and we would just play through. And in retrospect, it was a horribly overpowered mess of a game, I'm sure. But fuck, there was a lot of story told. So, you know, there's lots of, you know, and the awful games are the ones that people talk about, you know? Those are the ones with the huge moments. Yeah.
The grandiose things
that are way overblown.
But see, if we were the same way, there were, of our core group of five guys that played, four of us were like RAs or had work study for the school of, okay, I went to a Christian college. You weren't allowed to have girls in your room or whatever. So you had these co-ed study halls.
Yes.
So someone had to sit in there and be the co-ed study hall monitor to make sure people weren't having sex in there or making out or touching or doing anything that might make the baby Jesus cry.
Because God knows role players are the ones that are touching girls.
No. That's why you put a role player in there to just... Because you know they're not going to bring the chicks. So it was either three or four of us had work studies doing that. I did not. But there were three or four of the other guys in the group that had it. And they were stuck in there for 4 to 6 hours at a time.
Yeah.
So that was a perfect built-in time. You're in a room
that's
usually empty with a table
and
6 hours to kill.
Yeah.
And so, like, we rotated who was on pizza duty.
Yes.
Somebody would go and pick up, you know, a couple of, like, Little Caesars pizzas, and somebody else would bring sodas, and that was it.
Well, and you can say how little the military is paid, but we were in school, so we weren't, we weren't furnishing a house or anything like that. We were in, you know, barracks room with three guys, and, you know, you had very limited space. Your housing and your food was all paid for.
Yeah.
So all you really had to spend on, you could go out and get all the role-playing games you wanted.
Right.
All the role-playing books you wanted. Because, you know, we
don't have money to spend on anything else.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't need to spend it on anything else. We had food taken care of. We had housing taken care of.
Right.
So we could and did go out and buy all the fucking vampire books that came out. Ever. And, you know, within our group, we had them all. So, you know, and with some of those early supplements, that led to some horribly overpowered shit coming into the game.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Because
you'd buy a book and you'd dig through it looking for this fucking thing that would break the game and you'd give it to your player.
Well, yeah. And that transitioned to D&D too, because I liked playing sorcerers in D&D. It was always a fun thing for me. So I went out and bought all the sorcerer, like, companion books. And then I could just pick and choose out of them, like, well, I want to do this and this, this and this. Holy fuck 'em God. Like, and let's go.
Yeah, let's ignore that thing on that next page, which gives all the limitations to that. I'm just never going to show that to the DM.
Yeah.
I'm just going to show all of the cool powers to the DM.
If he doesn't ask, it
exactly.
doesn't exist.
If he doesn't have this book, then it doesn't matter.
And guess what? I bought the only copy Green Dragon had, so
but,
suck it.
And one of the things that I think it's Nate that always brings up is, you know, he ran the live action game, and he said, you know, he would allow people to run just about anything in that game as long as they got him a copy of the book so he could read the whole fucking thing.
Then that's a really good way to do it. That college students normally don't have the time to do.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But so, yeah, but yeah, but that's it. I mean, it was
yeah, and then you know he'd be like, yes, you can play that, but do you realize that these are the limitations to it? That this has to be in place, and this has to be in place, and therefore, you've basically given your soul to a demon, so you're fucked.
Yeah.
Do you really want to do this?
Hey, you can do it if you can roleplay it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just sort of the rule, like, if you can roleplay it...
If you can roleplay it, you can do it. But in order to roleplay it effectively, everyone's going to hate you, and they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
Right. All at once.
But that was always our trade-off. It was, you can be as powerful as you want, as long as you have something negative of equal measure to balance you out. You know, you might have these great psionic powers or whatever... You're deafblind mute.
Yes. Well, which is fine, because you can just talk with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can't see with that.
Why not? You're not Daredevil psionic guy?
No. You don't have, like, echolocation or whatever. Oh, and by the way, you're also 9.
You're also 9, but have the bones of a 93-year-old.
Ooh, you're Ben Button. Yeah. Yeah, you're Benjamin Button, a psionic wizard.
Yeah, and then, you know, you get to, what, we played D&D, what, 4 or 5 years ago at this point. That was an interesting...
That game had a lot of potential.
Yeah, it had a lot of
potential. I really wish it would have kept going.
We were heading towards the final battle. We basically played it through. We know we were either going to die or take out the church.
Yeah, it was going to...
Those were the two options.
Right.
I played the heretical cleric, as I'm opt to do. Not necessarily heretical, but this time I was, reasons.
Yeah.
Because they had these background options in the book, and I picked those, because that's me. But yeah, I tend to play a cleric in D&D, because I want to be a healer and a fighter.
Yeah, so why not do both?
But I don't tend to take healing spells, I take... fighting spells.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're the worst cleric.
I'm not a helpful cleric for anyone except myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can kick some ass. Well, I help with targeting.
That's true.
I did light some people up everyone could see them.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah. And I blessed you.
Every now and then.
Yeah.
When it was convenient.
when I wasn't right in the front, I would step back and go, okay, bless you guys. Yeah. So... Yeah, so we've meandered on. I may have to edit this one because, you know, for maybe. Never mind.
Nah. There's no fun in editing.
Yeah.
Editing is work. This isn't about work.
So, what have you decided for next time?
I have, actually, I did not realize that in 1998, one of my favorite records came out in March.
20 years ago in March.
Yeah. Keys Be Nights by Catch 22. It's a New Jersey ska band. I'll get you a copy of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's
a really good record.
Yeah, yeah. It's K-E-E-S-B-Y.
K-E-A-S-B-E-Y.
Yeah. That's what I said.
I think it's Keesby in there.
Yeah, it's Keesby. Yeah, yeah. I've seen the name. I know it exists. I don't think I've ever listened to it, so...
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
You can either listen to the Catch-22 version or the Streetlight Manifesto version. It's pretty much the same record.
Same thing? Okay.
The Streetlight record's, the Catch-22 record's a little more raw.
Okay.
Streetlight is a little more cleaned up and polished.
I might actually own the Streetlight one.
True.
But I haven't... I don't think I've listened to it, necessarily, but I may own it.
Cool.
Just because, yeah, that exists. So, yeah, we'll be doing Ska March.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Which sounds like the Imperial March, but it's a lot more fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And I am at Woodle on Twitter.
You're not on Instagram anymore?
I've converted my Instagram to a band page.
Ah, I got you.
And yeah, I'm not gonna make you guys follow my band page because you're not here for my band. You're here for the podcast. So I'm gonna be nice.
No cross promotion.
Of course, I didn't like let anybody know I was converting it to the band page. I just kind of did it. So just I kind of forced
sucker punched all those followers.
Forced anybody who was there who thought they were following me is now suddenly following this band they don't know anything about. But you know, whatever.
Yeah it's Instagram. It's wild card. I'm that Joe you know on Instagram. Because I got rid of my Twitter because Russian bots kept attacking it.
Well, I'm on Twitter, but it's basically just going to be this podcast feeding out to that. And occasionally I go off on a fantasy baseball writer or something.
Yeah.
We will talk at you next time. Toast.